Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Nectar of Instruction, text number 7. Sat Krishna Nama Charitadi Sitapya Vidya. On page 63. Sat Krishna Nama Charitadi Sitapya Vidya. Tito apta rasanasya narochikanu. Kim vadarat anudinam kalu saiva dusta. Svadhikramad bhavati tadgada gada mulahantri. And purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The holy name, character, pastimes, and activities of Krishna are all transcendently sweet like sugar candy. Although the tongue of one afflicted by the jaundice of avidya, ignorance, cannot taste anything sweet, it is wonderful that simply by carefully chanting these sweet names every day, a natural relish awakens within his tongue, and his disease is gradually destroyed at the root. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Naham prakasa sarvasya yogamaya samavrita mudoyam nabijananti lokoyam ajam avyayam. That Naham prakasa sarvasya. I am never manifest to the foolish and unintelligent. To them I am covered by my eternal creative potency, Yogamaya, and therefore the foolish do not know my transcendental nature, which is changeless and supreme. So just as Krishna himself is personally covered by Yogamaya, so the holy name is also covered by Yogamaya. It is said by Maharaja Sahadev, Parara Savat, Abodha jato yavan na jignasita atmatattvam yavan kriya stavati dhammano vai karmatmana jena sarira bandaha. That as soon as one identifies himself with this material body, then he's at once defeated. So generally, everyone in the material world is conditioned by the three modes of material nature, of which the mode of ignorance is the most prominent. The mode of ignorance characterized by one's misidentifying himself with the gross and subtle material bodies. And anyone who identifies himself with the gross and subtle material bodies and is affected by the attachment to these things, then when he chants the holy name, he may not relish the transcendental sweetness of Krishna's name, form, quality, and pastimes, which are completely transcendental. Instead of relishing the transcendental taste of remembering Krishna on the transcendental platform, one may experience the distaste, the bile-like taste of our attachments for the senses and their objects. So this is not due to the holy name, it's due to our material attachments. So one has to rise above this mode of ignorance, especially in the mode of passion, so that one can actually become conscious on the... So here it says also, Jivera Srupa Hoy Nitya Krishnara Nitya Das. That our actual position is to be attached to Krishna and to be attached to Krishna's service. But one who's in this material world and who's taking shelter of so many material things is called Arashaya. Swartikitim Vishnu Darashaya Ye Bahya Artha Manina. That people have been trained to have faith in so many things. Just like when the devotees were walking with Srila Prabhupada in 1986, 1976 in Mayapur, Prabhupada suddenly came out with a statement. He said, yes, this whole material civilization, which is meant to keep people in darkness, will soon come to an end with the next war. And he said, that war is coming very, very soon. And then he described the whole war. How America, how India would be attacked by Pakistan, and that Russia would join with India, and America would join with Pakistan, and how especially India would be destroyed, how America would be destroyed, but how after the war, preaching would be very nice. So, I remember when we heard that about the lecture, it was quite exciting for the devotees. But within that lecture, the devotees were quite enthusiastic for some reason or another. But the devotees were asking Prabhupada all kinds of questions about what we should do, how we should plan for this war. And then Prabhupada said, you should plan to chant Hare Krishna. And some of the devotees were asking questions, so many different questions. And Prabhupada, he more or less said, don't lament the idea that if you could have only lived 20 years longer, then everything would have been nice. He said, either you die today or you die tomorrow, death is sure. So for the conditioned soul, this is very hard, especially in Kali Yuga, to accept, because we're thinking 20 years from now, everything will be even more, will even be nicer. There'll be so many wonderful things to look forward to. This is the illusion of modern materialism. The illusion is that things are changing for the better. Things are changing, but unfortunately in Kali Yuga, gradually they're changing for the worse. And if there's anything that is getting better, the only thing that is actually becoming better are taking to the process of Krishna consciousness. That is the only real process, that is the only actual movement that's progressing human society. Therefore, if one can chant the holy name more purely, if one can become more of consciousness, that is something to look forward to. That is the platform in which there's one puts his faith in these temporary material things. This is called darashaya, a bad shelter. And as Prabhupada says in the purport, that the whole material world is a mistake. One time, His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj was walking with Srila Prabhupada in Bombay, Juhu Beach, and Srila Prabhupada mentioned something, and His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj said, yes, thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada. I was in Maya, I didn't understand. And Prabhupada laughed. He said, you're always in Maya. He said, sometimes you may think you've understood something, but actually your position right now is to always be in Maya. But if we can become a little Krishna conscious, a little conscious of Krishna on the transcendental platform, then we can taste something besides material energy. But Prabhupada said, if people are advised to take to Krishna consciousness, they think it is a waste of time. Because, bahir artha manina, they think that these external arrangements, this is actually making them happy. Because when it's analyzed with one's intelligence, any sane person can't understand what do they mean by happiness. Just the fact that everyone's going to die, how is there any possibility of happiness? That if one is informed that in 3 hours you're going to have to leave your body, then who could be joyful? Just like we've given that example of a plane. In any case, any example is applicable. If suddenly someone handed you a piece of paper, my dear sir, in 3 hours you have to die. But don't worry, there'll be a big feast in your honor and you're invited to attend. And that will be served 2.5 hours from now. So most people would get indigestion before that. Be hard to enjoy the final feast or to accept the presents that are offered to you. Happy disappearance day to you. Happy. But the knows when their notice is coming. Prabhupada said, he used to use the example, one doctor was on a train going to some convention, and suddenly he fell ill, and he had to leave his body on the train. So there was another doctor there attending him, and he begged him, "My dear sir, please, give me at least 3 more years. I have so much work that's unfinished." Prabhupada said he couldn't give him 3 more minutes. When the notice came, then he had to leave. So similarly, everyone knows sooner or later there's a notice, and therefore it makes material life actually distasteful. So more or less, modern society is an attempt to help people forget the fact that they're going to die. If someone jumps off a building or gets run over by a car or gets a heart attack in the street, immediately the ambulances rush, they throw him into the car, into the ambulance, and whisk him away. No one can see him and become discouraged. However, if one goes to India, you walk down the street, there's people with leprosy, they're holding up their hand asking for a donation, they have no fingers. One can see the reality of material existence much clearer. But in the West, they try and make it as covered over as possible. That generally people for a vacation, they don't go and visit hospitals. It's not one of the sightseeing places in the city. They try and put it in such a way as to remove it. And even if they have a cemetery, then they try and decorate it even nicer than most churches are. If you go into most churches, they have hardly any flowers. But if you go to a cemetery, it's all decorated with flowers. During the person's lifetime, no one gave him anything. They wouldn't even call him up on the telephone. But after he dies, they put all kinds of flowers. They offer him all kinds of flowers, more than they offer the deity. Therefore, if one is offered to take to Krishna consciousness, people think, why should I waste my time? I have my social security, I have my TV set, I have so many TV dinners. What can you ask for? Besides that, my favorite show is on Sunday, so how can I go for the Sunday feast? So the Krishna consciousness movement, Andayatan Demanas Te Pisha Tantra Uru Dami Bada. The Krishna consciousness movement is just to rectify this mistake on the blind leaders. In other words, the whole purpose of our movement is to inform people what is the real direction in life. Because there's no one else in the society which will give people vision. Everyone is blindly going along as if they're going to live forever. Ahani ahani bhutani gacchantiya yamalayam shesha stavara itchanti kemascharyam atakparam. That there's nothing more wonderful than this, that everyone's going to die, but everyone's thinking they're going to be the one exception. They're going to live forever here. And what their next lifetime is, if you ask anyone on the street, "My dear sir, you're going to die, how many years do you have left? Do you have 5 years or 10 years? No one knows. Of course, they become very uneasy. They want to get away from you if you ask them a question like that, thinking that this person's very pessimistic. I don't want to associate with him. And then you ask, well, where are you going after you're leaving the body? People that have no idea. all they know is that they're going, right now, you're interfering, they're going to a very important engagement to the pub to get a glass of beer. And that you're wasting their time by asking this crazy questions about their being, where they're going after this body. 99% of the people, they actually think after they leave this body, they enter into the void, and that's it. Or they don't worry about these things. They'll worry about these things when it happens, when it's too late. And even the blind leader, even the most advanced scholars, Prabhupada would always point out that he spoke to one professor at Katoski, and at the university in Moscow, who was supposed to be the expert on Eastern religions and culture. And when he told Professor Katoski that there's a difference between the soul and the body, he didn't believe it. He couldn't understand. And in practically all of Prabhupada's lecturing and discussions with the educated persons at universities, practically all of them, 99% of them, thought it was a Hindu concept, reincarnation. They thought, well, that's your religion, that's your faith, that you believe in reincarnation. And Prabhupada would always point out that it is not a belief, it is not a faith, it is a fact. And then they'd get very disturbed to hear that this person, this is called fundamentalism. Fundamentalism means that you actually believe in what you're saying. So they consider that very dangerous. They think that if you have a faith and you feel it's just your sentiment, that you don't really take it seriously, you just hope that it's true, then they think, oh, this person, he's normal. He doesn't take it too seriously. He's not a threat to our secular society. Some on the premise that there's nothing. Ultimately, there's really, materialism is fact, and spiritual consciousness is sentiment. And Prabhupada says, such persons, he groups them into namam diskritino muda prapadyante naradama maya aparita jnana asuram bhavam ashritya. Generally speaking, modern society has four classes of people. Those who are atheistic, those who are deceitful, those who are sinful, atheistic, foolish, and deceitful. So generally this is the four classes of people. People have been trained to be sinful, to be atheistic, to be deceitful, and to be foolish. So the foolish are those who are in the modes of ignorance, the mudhas. They can be characterized by sitting home at TV. They work hard in the factory. And hellish condition, steel factories. I went to school in Buffalo, steel factories. The whole city is covered with smog all the time, sulfur and gas. And you can hardly breathe the air. What to speak of you actually working in the factory, where it's all coming from. It's like being in hell, 40 degrees temperature, 50 degrees temperature, they're melting iron and making steel in the factory. And what are they doing it for? So they can get some money. And what is the money for? So they can pay for their apartment, which they're hardly ever in, because they're always working at the steel mill, at night, during the day, so many shifts. But on the weekend, they get to sit in front of their deity, the television set, and if they were lucky, they could afford to buy all the beer they could get and potato chips. And all their work at the steel mill in the factory, it's just so they can drink beer, eat potato chips, and watch the football game on Sunday. And then after this sacrifice, this ritual, then they can go back and work at the steel mill again. So other people can get television sets and sit at home and watch the football game and drink beer and eat potato chips. And if they're informed that, my dear sir, that this is foolish, they become insulted. They think this person's a fanatic. He's trying to just take away the basic necessities of life. And the next one is the Maya Apri, the Naradam. So Naradam is those who are sinful. They dress very nicely. Generally, the persons who Prabhupada in one lecture, in one conversation, anyway, we won't go into all of it. Everyone knows all the scandals. There's so many scandals. Even the President of the United States was involved in so many scandals. And what was the result? That people became more and more encouraged. The more they heard how sinful he is, how many illicit affairs he had, then he got so many extra votes because of it. That the more sinful a person is, the more practically he becomes respected within modern society. Instead of calling him a rogue, they call him a playboy. That's the euphemism for a rogue and a cheat. But people in general are sinful, but if they dress nicely, if they have a lot of money in this age, then they're considered to be saintly persons. Respectable. If a person is nicely dressed and has money, he comes by, everyone offers them his respect. But even if one is a very honest person, saintly person, if he doesn't have money, then people think he must be sinful. They laugh at him and criticize him because he has no money. Therefore, he definitely doesn't have God's grace. So this is called Naradam. They seem to have a civilized civilization, but their hands are quite not very clean. Their activities, their minds, their consciousness, everything is not clean. And Maya Apritigyana, they're deceitful. They know they're talking nonsense. They know they're cheating everyone, but they accept a Nobel Prize for saying things that are completely crazy. They talk all kinds of gibberish. They know 5-10 years from now someone will come along and speak more complicated gibberish than they're speaking, that no one can understand, and then they get the next Nobel Prize. So although they know practically nothing, still they get a high post at a university, they get so many prizes, people are applauding them, but they don't even know who they are. They don't even know where they came from. They don't know where they're going after leaving this body. And yet they say, we know the truth. So this is called deceitful. And finally, the atheistic, the Maya Pritigyana, the Asrambhavam Ashityas. They decry the personality of Godhead. They say there is no possibility of God. That's their a priori. A priori means that's the basic principle that they start with. For instance, modern science starts with the basic principle that there cannot be God. That if you bring in God, that they say that's what's called a cop-out. Sariputta said that there was one conference where they were talking about some scientific principles, and ultimately appeared that the only logical conclusion was, or is, that there must be a person behind what was going on. So one scientist said, well, it looks like there's a possibility we might even have to include God within the picture. So another scientist said, well, that's a cop-out. We don't accept that. In other words, modern science in particular, is based upon the premise, don't put God in the picture, whatever you do. So that's called Asrambhavam Ashitya. They're against Krishna. They're against the conception of God, that ultimately everything is controlled, everything is owned, everything is annihilated by the personality of Godhead. So Prabhupada says, such people will never surrender to Krishna. When such atheists become leaders of society, the atmosphere is in charge with nations. And people will not become very enthusiastic to take to the chanting of Hare Krishna. Just like one who has jaundice is not enthusiastic to take sugar candy. We can see in modern society, people are in a jaundice condition. They cannot easily accept the process of Krishna consciousness. But Rupa Goswami says that if one wants to be cured of this material disease, he must take to the process. Cheto darpana marjanam bhava mahadavagni niravapadam shreya kairava chandrika vitarana vidya varu jivanam. That the chanting of Hare Krishna cleanses the mind. And when the heart is cleared, then one can actually appreciate the chanting of Hare Krishna. One can actually appreciate the transcendental nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That devotional service can be appreciated at the platform of liberation. If one's mind is hankering and lamenting, if one is seeing all kinds of differentiations between living entities, thinking some are high and some are low, if one is in the bodily conception of life, then he cannot appreciate or understand what is the value of transcendental life. But Prabhupada points out there are three stages of chanting the holy name. One stage is called Namaparad. In the Namaparad stage, one is filled with all kinds of misconceptions about who one is, about what the purpose of life is. So one may chant, but one does not know how to chant very sincerely. One has not very much information about Krishna or the process of devotional service. Instead, one pays more attention to his conceptions of life than to the holy name. So this is called Namaparad. But if one hears the Sambandha Gyan, if one learns about Krishna, one executes the process of devotional service, then the result is gradually he obtains the ability to remember Krishna when he chants the holy name. And the result of chanting the holy name and remembering Krishna is called Namabhas. Just like, for instance, when there's clouds in the sky, if the clouds are very, very thick, then no sunlight comes through, and it's practically the same as if there was no sun in the sky. That analogy is very applicable around here. You never know. Well, generally you do know. You never know when the sun's going to come out. But sometimes the clouds lessen a little bit and some sun rays come through and one can appreciate the presence of the sun. One may not fully see the sun or experience it, but because there's some sun rays, therefore one knows the presence of the sun. Similarly, by chanting a Namabhas, of which there's different types of Namabhas, there's Shraddha Namabhas and there's just Namabhas. Namabhas by itself is divided into four categories known as Hela, Sanketa, Vyavaya, and one more, Soba. Chanting in jest, chanting in derision, chanting meaning something else, referring to something else, and chanting with the syllables separated. The examples are, just like there is one Mohammedan, and he was being killed by a boar. And at the time of being killed by a boar, in Urdu, the word horrible is, Hey Ram. So he's chanting, Hey Ram, Hai Ram, or Hai Ram, Hai Ram. So he's chanting Hai Ram, which means abominable. But he was actually chanting the name of Ram. So he became liberated. Just like the story when Prabhupada once told one man, he ate some prasadam, and then a lion came and ate the man. And then a hunter came and shot the lion. And the lion and the man, they both went back to Vaikuntha. the lion, the man went to Vaikuntha because he ate some prasadam, and the lion went back to Vaikuntha because he ate the man who had eaten prasadam. Lucky lion. So similarly, by chanting the name Haram, I'm sure the boar got some credit too, because he sent the man back to Vaikuntha, or at least he liberated him. He didn't go to Vaikuntha, but at least he got liberation. Similarly, Jarasandha, chanting Krishna's name in jest, etc., or in derision, and other examples. So beyond that is chanting Hare Krishna with nama, Shraddha Namabhas, with faith, knowing something about the Sambandha. Therefore, by chanting, one will remember something about Krishna, and there will be experience of transcendental happiness, transcendental illumination. So one can actually experience Krishna directly with one's transcendental senses. Sukham adyantikam yatad, buddhi grayam atendriyam. That one experiences the presence of the Lord with his transcendental senses, and gaining this, he thinks that there is no greater gain. And Prabhupada says that this Krishna consciousness movement is meant to create the atmosphere by which people will want to take to the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. And he explains that Dao Sharatata Sarusangatya Bhajna Kriya, that in the beginning there has to be some faith. Bhaktivinoda Thakura said that the Harinam parties, they go all around the world and they chant the holy name of Krishna, because this creates faith within people when they become familiar with the holy name. Even in America, when Bhaktivinoda Thakura was present, then there was this, they began what was called the Salvation Army. They have that here? Salvation Army. So he was very happy to hear it. At the beginning, the Salvation Army, it was part of the Christian, it was a Christian movement, and they were glorifying the holy name. They'd go out in the street and they'd chant the holy name of God. Later on, it became more of a philanthropic organization. But at the beginning, it was just like, it was a movement to glorify the holy name. So Bhaktivinoda Thakura is very happy to hear about that. Similarly, he said that when the Sankirtan parties, they go and they chant the Hare Krishna mantra publicly, then this creates faith within people. And that by that faith, they'll be able to understand what it says within the literature that we distribute. And he says that sometimes people begin to imitate, and they see the devotees and they shave their heads. Because I don't, sometimes people do shave their heads, but it's, you never know why they do it nowadays. You don't know if they're friendly or antagonistic or what. And then Prabhupada goes on that some imitators gradually become interested in being initiated by the spiritual master and offer themselves for initiation. I know one sannyasi, every time before he became a devotee, every time he saw the devotees handing out back to Godheads, he'd come and take one and rip it up and throw it in the garbage. Because that was not why he became a sannyasi. But by such association with the devotees, he gradually became purified. And one day he inquired what was in the books. He read one of them, and then he joined the movement. If one is sincere, he's initiated in the stage, it's called Bhajna Kriya. Prabhupada says that by chanting the holy name regularly and refraining from these four different sinful activities of illicit sex, intoxicants, meeting, and gambling, that one becomes free from the contamination of materialistic life. And Prabhupada, he said, he no longer goes to a restaurant or hotel to taste so-called palatable dishes made with meat and onions, nor does he care to smoke or drink tea or coffee. He not only refrains from illicit sex, but he avoids sex life entirely. nor is he interested in wasting his time in speculating and gambling. In this way, it is to be understood that one is being cleansed of unwanted things, arnata nivritti. So this, just to lose one's taste for these four sinful activities, is called arnata nivritti. And then he loses his taste, he becomes fixed in the devotional service of the Lord, and he becomes detached to such activities, and then he can experience real transcendental ecstasy. This is called bhava, the preliminary stage of love of God. And gradually he comes to understand what his real position is, who the personality of Godhead, and what his maya is. When one comes to the stage of bhava, although maya may be present, it doesn't disturb the devotee. Much the same as, although a dream, one may remember a dream during the day, but the remembering a dream during the day doesn't disturb one. One who comes to the stage of bhava, material life seems just like a dream that one is remembering during the day, a shadow. Krishna Surya Sama Maya Haya Andakar Yahun Krishna Tahun Nahi Mayara Adhikar. That Maya, Krishna is compared to the sun, and Maya is compared to darkness. If Krishna is present within one's consciousness, then Maya disappears. Therefore, by learning the proper process of chanting the holy name, then one can become, one can associate with Krishna, especially in his form, his quality, his pastimes. And this way, Maya gradually dissipates, and one can understand things as they actually are, by direct experience. Raja Vidya, Raja Guyam, Pavitram Paramam, Pavitram Paramam, Idam Uttama, Pradyakshavagamam Dharmyam Susukam Kartum Avhiyam. This knowledge is the king of education, the most secret of all secrets. It's the purest knowledge, and because it gives direct perception of the self by realization, it is the perfection of religion, is everlasting, and is joyfully performed. Rajaguya, Rajavidya, Rajavidya, Rajaguyam, Pavitram Idam Uttamam, Pravakshavagamam Dharmyam, Susukam Kartum Avyayam. Are there any questions? Thank you. Yes. Chanting doesn't depend upon initiation. Chanting depends upon your purity of chanting. The chanting is so nice, it doesn't even depend upon initiation. Initiation is to help bring us to the mode of goodness. It's part of the Pancharachika Vidhi system, which is because our senses and mind are uncontrolled, therefore we have to engage in worshiping the deity. So to worship the deity, therefore, as part of the Pancharachika Vidhi system, initiation is required for that. Of course, we have Harinam initiation, which means initiation to chanting the holy name. That means that the holy name can only be actually chanted by one who actually wants to please Krishna. After all, we're praying, my dear Lord, please engage me in your devotional service. My dear, all the energy of the Lord, all the Lord, please engage me in your devotional service. But one can only know what Krishna wants through Krishna's devotee. Unless one can go up to the deity and ask him, but unless he's quite elevated, generally the deity won't respond. Therefore, one has to engage in the service of the Lord's servant. If one really wants to please Krishna, one has to find out from his servant. So that's called initiation. That desire to please the Lord and his servants. Initiation without that has no meaning. At least it has, initiation at least applies being dutiful, even if the, you know, the full desire is not there. At least within duty, there is a certain amount of desire to please, to do the right thing. Obligation. So unless one chants in the proper mood, then he can't expect to make too much progress. The only progress he can make, generally, is to come to the point of appreciating the necessity of coming to that platform. One, of course, Krishna is very merciful. One can chant and Krishna can give some mercy. But if one wants to steadily remember Krishna, then one has to develop that attitude of surrender. It's not that one day I'm chanting and I feel some transcendental pleasure. So what is there need to take shelter of Krishna as devotee? But if one wants to steadily experience, come to the platform of steady happiness in Krishna consciousness, then he has to take to the process, as it says, Adalshara, beginning his faith, association with the devotees, and the next stage, Bhajana Kriya, the execution, steady execution of devotional service, implies also taking shelter of Krishna's devotees. So that if one really wants to come to the stage of an Anartya Vritti and really give up that tendency for sinful habits, then he has to get the pleasure of pleasing Krishna and his devotees. The pleasure in the spiritual world doesn't come from sense gratification, but the pleasure in the spiritual world comes from trying to please others. One feels his own, one becomes pleased by trying to please others, and then feeling other people's pleasure and trying to please them, or other devotees pleasing them. So unless one can come to the platform of sincerely trying to please others and then feeling their pleasure at being pleased, then one can actually feel real transcendental happiness steadily. Is that clear?
Yes.
Anything else? Yes. Blessings? Blessings means the instructions he's giving. Blessings ultimately mean his instructions. Anything else? So we'll stop there. Thank you very much. Nectar of instruction, ki jai. Lord Nrisimhadev, ki jai. Well, today is also not only the appearance day of Lord Nrisimhadev, but it's also the disappearance day of Hiranyakashipu. So it's a double auspicious day. So soon it's getting dusk, so we should remember the disappearance at this time of Hiranyakashipu. Prahlad Maharaj, ki jai. Lord Nrisimhadev, ki jai.